Call meeting to order. Start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Open the floor for public comment. Mr. Cooper?
I have a sense that you folks are not aware of the extent of the zoning violation on Elm Street, so I have brought pictures for everyone. I've also filed criminal informations with the court for 4 successive weeks because the zoning law makes each week a new violation. I will continue to do that. And a couple other things. Throughout this whole process, I believe I have perceived that in this building there is a universal misunderstanding and lack of knowledge regarding the village zoning ordinance. And I can tell you that there's nothing mysterious about it. It's an easy read. And I know when all this started, I was told nobody could find the rules, nobody could find the law. Look on your website. That's where it is. It's there in its entirety, and it's easy to read, and you need to read it. The other thing, the last thing I want to tell you is we've had a lot of frustration throughout this whole process. Last week we had a visitor in the form of a big chicken in our yard. So, to do things by the book, we called the animal control officer who flatly refused to respond. Right? He told us he has no place to put a chicken. I'm not coming. And I don't tell you that to throw my friend under the bus or anything like that. I tell you that so that you have an appreciation for the accumulation of frustration. At some point, it might as well be tonight, I have to tell you that if there is no enforcement of the zoning ordinance, we'll be in Supreme Court with a summary proceeding for mandamus, which will result in an order directed against the village and all of those officials to enforce the village's zoning. Violation of that order will result in contempt proceedings. It doesn't get pretty after this. My suggestion is do it in-house, do it right, but do it. I'm going home. I had surgery a week ago, and I'm spent. Thanks for your attention.
I'd like to comment, if it's okay.
You may.
Would you be available tomorrow sometime around 2 o'clock for a phone conference with me to discuss the zoning laws and go through it, you know, thoroughly? While I'm on the phone, I have a long drive tomorrow, so I'll have time to talk to you about it.
766-2387.
So, probably around 2, 3, between 2 and 3. And if it's on Parkway, if I lose you, I'll call you back.
Okay.
766-2387. Okay. Expect a phone call from me tomorrow.
I'll be there all day. I can't roam too far.
Can you make me a physical copy? Or can you be able to mention that? Can I get a physical copy of what you have there as opposed to just an electronic? So I can review it on my own as well tonight?
Sure.
Is that okay, man?
I gave you one of these the first time.
Okay, I can go through my paperwork.
I have added a couple of counts because in reading the zoning ordinance, we come across other violations.
Okay, so you could ask the committee to make a copy before you leave. That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really, truly do. Doing this for sport, gentlemen. I can't bear to live next to that with this. And now, when the weather gets nice, it's going to change. Because that's what it does. It did earlier this spring when the weather was nice. My fear of vermin, it's not a happy situation.
many. From my way of thinking, there's a solution.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Thank you.
John.
Is the village going to be involved in cutting grass this summer? The people don't cut their own?
Possibly.
Like it did last year?
Well,
supposed to be. And instead of, again, like Steve was saying, you know, I've got to get before they do something about it.
I'd like to speak on that. First of all, we don't want to be cutting people's grass, but we need to set a precedent. So this is the year of getting our zoning situated. This is the year of getting our code enforcement situated. So take some time. Everybody just needs to have some patience, but we're going to put it together. And it's all about the unity here. You know, we need to work together with each other. Okay? And not concentrate on the dollar and concentrate on the neighbors. Okay? So that's going to be my focus, to work on the community effort. Okay, so I'm going to get to that.
Corey?
Well, I've always been told that this village turns into a different animal, you know, after 10 o'clock, 10:30. I'm never up that late. But I happened to be up with this Saturday, but it was fine. I was coming home from the bed. And it comes down Lake Avenue, and I'm getting to the point where I'd like to see more police. Coming down Lake Avenue, I see all these lights flashlights. I'm like, who could that be? A gaggle, drunk children trying to find their way back over to the lake. And I thought, that's interesting. Hopefully they make it. I get up to see these sails, and there's kind of a turn to the left, and there's this gentleman, I've never seen him before, in a hoodie, pajama pants, sneakers, standing in the rain, just kind of wandering and staring. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I hear all the comments about the police, that and this, and it's like, thank God they are, dude, because they can drive out there, you know, 11:30 at night. You meet all sorts of characters that I feel don't or aren't residents of the village. I would say, can you have the police around, please?
Was that person doing anything dangerous?
Were the kids? They were drunk. They were dangerous. They were in the road, yes. Were they drunk? Yes. Was the person on the sidewalk doing anything? I have no idea. Couldn't tell you what he was doing. I wasn't going to sit there long enough to ask him. I proceeded on my way.
Well, I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, but we're all good people. We're all good people.
You know what? I get it. But as a woman driving down the road and just kind of looking over, 11:30 at night, porn, somebody's just standing there like a duck with their head in the air.
Maybe they enjoy the rain or the air. Hey, I was enjoying my, you know, a night ride on a bicycle one night, and there was some, you know, misconceived notions of what I was doing. So, you know, maybe that person was just enjoying the night air. Exactly. That's all.
Anything else? Okay. Let's see. Through the minutes of the April meeting. Motion by Dave. Second by Bill. Any questions on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Treasurer's report for April.
I have a couple of questions.
Yep.
I noticed that under the unallocated insurance account, the previous year was $40,000.
What was your line item?
What line item? Okay. It's 1910.4, first page.
Okay.
I'm assuming that you've been talking with somebody in the insurance industry for the coming year.
Yes, and we haven't really got any. I haven't gotten anything back from them yet. The policy, it's weird. The policy doesn't come due until the end of July, and they usually don't have any numbers until the beginning of June, to the middle of June. That's when we start talking about this.
Okay. So,
well, those is
no
to this one.
Requesting those two variances for the erection of a modular home to replace his dwelling that was burned. We'll be meeting probably in the office on Monday, May 15th at 7 p.m., and that will be a public hearing as well.
Okay.
Anything the planning board, Missy?
No.
Okay. Water source committee. Zoning review. I mean, I attended the zoning meeting, so I'm not going to make any comments. So, I met with the committee. We did talk about how to proceed, how we expected them to proceed, and a time frame for putting together ordinances. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'd like to get this put together and wrapped up.
Was there any actual concrete ideas done, or was it more or less a concept of how?
Well, there was some discussion. I won't say it was a lot. We only met for an hour, okay. We met at 7:00. The library closed at 8:00, and they gave us a booth. So I guess there was discussion about, well, the master plan says that we should have the sidewalks and we should have this and we should have that. And I said, that's nice, but the focus of zoning, that's not the focus of zoning.
Right.
That's community development. Right. So, that would be something you would come to the village board for if we wanted to do a project or something. But zoning, I said, you need to address things like what kinds of development do you want in what areas of the village. So one of the big things they were, under discussion was the number of apartments and 14 or whatever that house is, the Rudolph old house there. Is that 14?
For
14 Elm Street, they want to put Section 8 housing in there, and they're going to put 4 apartments in there, and everybody says, I said, not for nothing. I said, but the zoning right now says that you know, a minimum apartment size is 500 square feet. If you're concerned about that, you know, a minimum apartment size could be 750 square feet, you know, and then, you know, four wouldn't fit, you know, so you'd only end up with two. I mean, you can't tell people they can't utilize the property if it's a multifamily area. They have to be allowed to be multifamily. But you can set reasonable regulation as to, you know, the size of apartments and that kind of thing, I say. So, you know, you may want to look at something like that along those lines. I say, you know, look at the definitions that are in there and make sure that, you know, they're clear and concise. And, I mean, you know, the biggest problem is that everybody reads everything different, you know. But I don't think you can get away with that, get around that. But we did have some good discussion. I think we're headed in the right direction now, we're not designing the village. We're zoning.
Well, to add to that, it's a tough situation, the whole zoning here, because the whole village, you got multi-family next to a single family, next to a business, next to whatever.
Is that exactly what you're talking about? So in the business district, you know, there is no residential living in the business district. It is not allowed in front.
Not even upstairs?
No.
Business?
Not allowed.
Okay. So
not allowed. But you go down there and every building's got somebody living in it.
Exactly.
You know, so I said, so maybe, you know, not for nothing, but in a lot of cities and urban areas and everything, it's the first floor that's the business.
Right. And then
the upper floors could be residential. Yeah. Maybe you want to look at that.
Yes, I agree. And the way I see it too is with this whole zoning is we're going to have to set the rules and the laws moving forward. Existing businesses, we're going to have to grandfather them in. You can't, you know, existing until they're gone, either businesses or homeowners or residents or apartments. Can't say, oh, you gotta, you know, we've been, unless they did it illegally, and which probably this whole village is all, I don't even know, you know, how far it went with that. But if somebody's got a two-family apartment and we're saying, oh, now this area is only one family, well, I think we're gonna have to wait until one of those families moves out and then home squash it. So we gotta be careful how we tread, you know, moving forward. And I think the grandfather rule is gonna have to apply in a lot of aspects when it comes to the zoning review.
It would always apply. And you can do zoning. Grandfathering always applies. So it shouldn't affect on how you do your zoning. So you do your zoning the way you want things to be, and then as, you know, as places become vacant and they lose that use, they lose their grandfather.
Exactly.
And then, you know, and the next owner has to comply with zoning. But, I mean, that was the issue. That's the exact issue with what's going on with the mobile station. You know, just to bring it up, you know, as a thing. So, you know, the new zoning has, you know, definite boundaries to where entrances and exits for corner properties have to be, you know, and, you know, like they have no curbing on that whole property. So it's one big driveway from start to finish on both sides. You know, that does not comply with zoning. And that was one of the big issues with the person that bought it, was that he would have to curve that out and have, you know, definite entrances and exits away from the corner, you know, to comply with zoning, because that property has lost its grandfather's status,
right?
You know, so he would need to comply. So, you know, but, you know, and there was a lot of discussion about, well, geez, isn't it better to have somebody in there than not comply? No. We waited 10 years, and this is the only opportunity that you're going to have to get it right.
To get the zoning right.
So we need to make sure that we get it right, even if it takes another 5 years. But that's the way it is.
Just to touch on that property, I spoke to the owner recently, and he's probably going to start construction on the inside within the next month or two. So if anybody sees construction going on, he's got permits for it, you know, for the inside and the facade. You know, nothing to do with any of the curbing or gas tanks or any of that stuff, but the inside stuff he's got permits for right now.
He was working today on the canopy.
Okay.
I don't know if they have permits.
They do. They have a canopy for it as well.
The other thing about the zoning that I know came up during the analysis and the master plan is that currently the zones actually they cut through property.
We did talk about lines,
and that was one of the things that, you know, to make sure that a property was actually in one zone, not multiple zones, going forward.
We had some discussion about that, and I think there's, you know, there's reasons that things are the way they are, too.
Can we readjust that to make it...
Right. At least review it.
I mean, I'm not sure that it's wrong.
Okay.
Right. But...
I know that because that becomes confusing for us.
Yeah, but we don't want to get, you know.
It'd be nice to be clear cut. This is where my boundary ends, and this is where, you know, we had that problem already over there on your neighborhood. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
The one, you know, where it was part of the what is it, the ambulance back there. Remember that road goes through? So if it was clear cut, it wouldn't have been an issue, you know?
So we'll, but, you know, we did talk about that, especially over on, between Elm Street and Phillips Street, that area over there we talked about.
Yeah.
But, I think we discussed that, and they didn't realize some of the things that they should take into consideration, things that could happen if they moved it. So, so I think they're considering that, so. And that's all you can ask, just consider. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong to move it, you know, we'll have to make that decision when we look at the overall project. So, but we've entrusted them to make the, you know, to come up with the formula, so let's wait and see what they come up with. Energy Sustainability Committee.
We are continuing to work on the TA grant for that, and we'll be meeting again this month. To actually get down to brass tacks on it.
Okay. Pump house, we're just going to hold that for a bit. Yep, for next time.
Yeah, I mean,
are you ready to move on, or?
We don't need to run away.
No, you don't. No, that's right. You've already gotten your quote, so you're good to go.
I'm just making for Apple, and I'm going to go with the lowest bid.
Okay. Good. And then that can come on, because we're going to take care of it.
I got a call for down for a resolution. We don't need that either. So I need to take it off there too.
Okay. Anybody have any other old business that you want to discuss? Any new business? Okay. Open the floor for public comment. Sure.
I don't know how many years I've been coming to these meetings. Probably 20, maybe more than that. Pretty regularly. And I have to say tonight, it is a distinction that I've heard things from trustees that I've never heard in 20 years. Is there any oversight over the assessor's positions, or is it a one-person operation?
The assessor has authority into all himself as his office. He is appointed assessor. He is, he's the man.
It just seems that we're opening ourselves up to a lot of criticism and unhappiness from hashtag residents when things like we want it to be blank, blank, blank. Sure, everybody wants it to be nice, but maybe your nice and my nice and her nice are hugely different. And how do you reconcile that in an equitable way among, I don't know, how many taxpayers in the village, 200, 300, 400, however many there are, it just seems like...
I can answer that question. You just
set your fare,
you know, that's
yeah,
all.
But what's the basis of
fare? Basis,
Aren't there any state regulations? It seems hard for me to believe that
there are.
In New York that there aren't some sort of definition.
There are.
Just like Bob said, this documentation has to be provided on their end as well as on our end.
You know, once upon a time, a past mayor explained to me that if you look at the assessment, it's like a pie, and that pie is always going to remain exactly the same size. And whether the value of the property goes up or the value of the property goes down, it just changes the slice, the size of those slices. But you're still after that bottom line of money to run the village. That you can't say we're not going village, because, well, this year we had 5 houses that we reduced the assessment on, because you're going to be responding to every fluctuation in real estate prices. In 2017, 27 should have been a huge lesson in the fallacy of real estate prices based on assessment. You know, we had a house on Church Street sell for over $300,000. And allegedly, that bounced everybody else up on Church Street up. And what happened? The owner defaulted. Did it go down? I don't think so. You know, so it's talk about slippery slope. Holy cow. And then the second thing, I'm hearing that, well, we've got these laws, yes, we've got these laws, but we really don't need to enforce those laws. You know, we had a situation here many years ago with Chief Avery, who everyone thought was absolutely out of his mind because he enforced the speed laws as they were written. And naively, perhaps it's legally indefensible to say that maybe people who have tinted windows have, but they're coming from Florida or down south or somewhere where it's a climate situation, maybe they don't want you to have the sea or someone out of the car. And are those the folks you want driving around the neighborhood?
Well, actually, everybody has a right to their own privacy, and as long as they're not encroaching upon their neighbors.
But they're on the highways and the byways of New York State. There's no longer private property when they get on a public road.
The vehicle is private property, though. As long as it complies with the law.
And if the law says the percentage of tint is going to be so much, not just that the village has the device that measures it, or is there...
Yes,
okay, so you can absolutely come and say, I don't even know what it is, that the windows are supposed to be 15, no more than 15, and you've got 17%. So you can say, look, it's your violation. It would seem to be pretty cut and dry. I don't know. So it's just pretty amazing. I don't know if this is the mood of the nation that is trickling down, but let's hope not. Let's hope that we maintain a little bit more intelligence in our village.
Fair enough. John?
Yeah, like David said about the code enforcement thing, I think an officer in uniform gets a lot more attention than a guy just walking up there, you know. They're not even going to answer the door. They're not going to pay that attention to it. I thought that guy in his humor sets a hard time. They just don't pay attention to it. When a guy shows up in a uniform with a citation, like you said, let the board decide what's going on. I mean, look at Steven. He can't get rid of the chickens. They used to be fouled across the street from the sun. I don't know if anybody ever knows that, but they used to be. Steven's going to go to the Supreme Court, whatever it was. The officer, that impresses people when he walks up to your house and knocks on your door. Nobody wants the officer to be in their yard with his car. But we told enforcement just wants it to move that guy. You know? Well, it's got to be done because whatever it is, it ain't working anyway. We know that.
We understand. And we are reviewing this. And right now we're gathering options. And we will have a discussion. And we will come up with a new plan that will hopefully work. That's our goal.
Did I hear $1,200 for 4 tires? $300 a piece?
State contract.
Huh?
They're under state contract.
That's what it looks like?
All done by rule.
Does it have to be state contract?
Unless you go out to bid.
Or we can bid.
That was all bids?
Well, it's a bid under state contract. The state bid.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Or we can bid it ourselves?
You can do it yourself. I mean, you're talking mounted, balanced, and installed, too.
Remember I told you one tire? $300.
I mean, I don't know. I bought tires for my wife's Honda. They cost me $950.
You're going the wrong place.
Yeah, you're on the wrong place.
I got them from Charlie Scott down here.
Anyway, one other thing is this building here. Is there a chance they can put some paint on that and get rid of that rust? Talking about code enforcement, make it look pretty.
In front of this
terrible.
You can take a look at
that.
Money.
I went down last year and never comes out of
here. Yeah. We got to do some work on the building. We got to replace some windows and doors, and maybe we could look at getting the exterior painted also. So.
I just
need some upgrading.
I would just like to comment, on Kurt's comment.
Public comment. This is public.
Well, I just want to, he was referring it to me, so I just want to, listen, I I'm sorry you feel that way, first of all, and the way I see it is communities in general need to focus more on love and trust than on questioning and not trusting each other, and it all starts with making a change. That's what we're trying to do here with this village. We're trying to make a change, and then maybe if we all embrace it, we all embrace love and trust, others will as well. And the next thing you know, we have a vibrant community of people who love each other and talk to each other and say hello outside and aren't looking to try to get over on each other. And what does that is society and money. Money has created society to do that. So when you talk about money, that is the least thing that I even think about when I bring up anything at all. It's not about money. It's about us, community, neighbors, and helping each other.
But his point, I think, is when you're acting as the assessor, you are representing the village. And the village's position and the fairness of the assessment throughout the village to all residents. And I think that's the point that he's
making. And that's exactly what I said. I would be 100% fair.
Yes. Anything else, Judy?
No, I want to end with as the mother of a daughter who was in New York City Park for 20 years, I have a problem with the thought of a police officer having to walk up to the house and knock on the door and deliver anything, a summons or anything. Some people are nuts. And if he's not coming up, and you never know, I think he could put an undue amount of danger for a police officer to be put in that kind of situation.
I know, but in the same house, I did it this week for Kevin, and I was in the same amount of danger.
Yeah.
I probably see that him rather gone than me.
Let's hold this for everybody can have an opinion, but this is not a discussion. Lori.
Well, I think I appreciate your ideas coming up of ways to handle the code enforcement. I'm sure you know that a code enforcement officer was required for thousands of hours of training. And I just think that you really need to rethink yours because I don't think the board wants to go and take all this training to be knowledgeable to be the enforcer of the police as your plan has just delivered your summons. As for the assessment, I would say that if in fact that situation comes into play, I think where I live, we all get along. Everybody talks to everybody on the street. We're all neighbors. But we all understand that, if in fact it's going to be a selective process, and that's what I'm deeming it as, a selective assessment. That is certainly a no problem, going against and having a look at, because you just can't selectively assess anybody. And then second class, you can look up, and I think I gave David a copy of it, City of Yonkers lighting project.
Mm-hmm.
For every dollar they invested, they saved $2 for the LED bulbs.
Thank you for that. I'll check into it because I was really kind of excited about it. So, I don't know if it'll come to pass, but I'm certainly willing to look at it. Anything else on your public?
Yeah, I've never had any training in building code or anything like that at the police academy, and that's not a function of the police department. And we don't serve other people's appearance tickets. Paul is authorized by law to serve the tickets for animals. Such as the code enforcement officer is authorized to serve tickets, and we don't serve other people's tickets.
It may need a change in law, too.
Well,
but
maybe a change in law, or we send somebody to train.
We'll look at that. Okay, anything else? All right, look, I'm going to call for an executive session, because I do want to discuss with the board, just a short, bring them up to speed as to what's going on with Steve's situation, to what I know. And then we're going to come back out, we'll go through the resolutions and pay the bills. And those are the only things that I can tell you we're going to handle. You're welcome to stay and hang out if you want. If not, have a good night. Thanks for coming. And we'll just
make a motion to go into executive session.
To talk about Steve Cooper's legal issue.
Talk about Steve Cooper's legal issue.
Okay.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Carrie. All right, I'll entertain a motion to come back into the regular session. Randy and Dave. Okay, resolutions. Transfer $4,944.84 from the police contractual 3120.4 to police equipment 3120.2. Motion by Guy, second by Randy. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. Can that money be donated to like a playground or a basketball court or something like that from the police department?
Well, it can't be donated, no.
Can they pay for equipment for our community?
They could, but they've already purchased cameras. So the money is to be purchased.
Yeah, myself. Go ahead, Tom. What other response?
The money can only be used.
This isn't the drug money. Yeah. This is just transferring money within your budget.
Drug stuff can only be used for
people. Right. Understood. But this is money that was budgeted, and it's being moved from. We're requesting to remove it from contractual to equipment to pay for the cameras.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
You're transferring it from 3124 CE to the equipment.
Correct.
What is that going to do to the balance in that particular account in
3124? Nothing. They have decided to use it instead of for that purpose to which it was budgeted, they want to use it to pay for these things.
And it was budgeted for what? For
contractual items.
So in another 2 weeks when the...
No, they're not going to look for more money in that one.
Okay. But it's not going to run up short.
No.
Okay. Question. Why at the time you put this thing through, you suggested that you're going to do an update. Why wasn't the cost of the whole thing discussed at that time? Didn't you know, or what
happened?
No, we knew.
We didn't know, though. The board didn't know.
Well, the police department and the police commissioner reviewed the cameras. They decided that they wanted to spend money on new cameras for better cameras for whatever reason. They felt that they were not done. I mean, why is Randy buying a new switch? Why did we buy new tires? You guys do stuff for your departments based on what you perceive are your department's needs. So you run your department, and Guy runs his department.
Well, in the case of the tires, that was a need for sure.
Well,
sure, that was a need. I'm not.
Well,
sure.
We say for sure. Well, he says for sure we need new cameras. But that's his decision. He is spending money within his budget that we approved at the time of the budget. He is not asking for money from another area of the budget. He isn't asking streets to do without something so he could buy something. He is working within his budget, which is his authority.
But he's telling me that his budget is too high because we're spending $5,000 on something we don't need.
In your opinion.
Now, is this going to improve something beyond what the existing cameras are?
Yes. So the technical aspects of this.
Yeah.
So these are they're newer cameras. So, you know, the cameras we had in there, they've got to be 7, 8, 9, 10 years old at this point. And they are functional. They still take video and things. They work on a disc-based system, so it's old technology. You know, we end up having the disc, we have to buy the disc, we have to store the disc. These cameras are based on an internet type thing, so it's all wireless. Comes from the cars, goes into the station, it's saved there. You can, you know, review, you know, there's always reviews. So it saves on that sort of physical aspect. They are higher resolution, so you get a better picture. I mean, we've some of us have seen the videos that the old cameras took, and, you know, they're not the best quality. It's hard to see sometimes. I mean, we've had questions about, you know, what are we actually looking at sometimes? Because, you know, you're trying to look at a detail and you can't. So there was a technical need. But in terms of it, we had an opportunity. Now, we could have waited until next year to do this. Maybe wait another year. We wouldn't have gotten the same price because we had an opportunity in North to go on to the same buy with North Greenbush. That was one of the things that sort of said, okay, well, you know, we could wait and then pay more in the future, or we, you know, could take advantage now. You know, so it made sense to do it. I question, you know, things that you guys do in your departments. You know, that's what we're here for. I don't mind that. I really don't mind your action, but, you know, I just hope that you see it from the point of view of what we're trying to do with the police department. You know, again, this makes transparency better.
Did the cameras run while you're in pursuit of a vehicle?
When you're chasing somebody,
are the cameras on?
Yes.
They are all times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, because I just heard that they were off. But we didn't know they weren't on.
In the very long ago past.
When you say cameras are 10 years old?
Yes, but the cameras themselves can work out the way you set up the system. And when Tom became the officer in charge, we made a lot of changes to the way the cameras were used because in the past they hadn't been used effectively.
That issue.
And, well, they weren't, they, you know, the previous administration had a different way of doing it. That's all. Okay. And we set it up a different way so that we would be capturing everything that happened so that when questions come, we could actually, you know, see the evidence.
Guys, is there ever a need for the general public to view these cameras for any reason?
To view the cameras?
No, I mean the film itself.
I mean, sometimes we you know, when people, one of the things that the video is used for is in court. Often it's evidence that's provided in a court case.
Okay.
That's one thing. So I guess the public sees it there.
Okay.
But on the other, and again, a higher resolution makes it more distinguishable, okay, things like that.
But I can clarify that too. I have 3 videos of, you know, what the cameras pick up, and they're good. The ones that we have, they are good. They do pick up good resolution. Probably not as good as the new ones that we're looking at, but they definitely would pick up good resolution.
And the other times we use the video and the camera is when someone has a complaint and, you know, I have to look at them to assess what I can out of that and, you know, interview the officers and interview the person who makes a complaint. Oftentimes we all come together, the person who's making a complaint, the officers who are involved in me, we all come and we watch the video. And it's helpful to have a picture that we can all sort of determine what's going on. And as much as you know, I appreciate your comment on what the old cameras did, the new cameras are just...
Oh, sure. Technology is advancing
quickly. You know, a 10-year-old cell phone, just think of the camera that I was on and the cell phone camera now. You know.
They were efficient. They were good ones that we had. I just want to bring something up, though, regarding what Bob had spoke about recently. You know, and it pertains to this issue and some of the comments from, you know, from the public. It seems like a double standard here on departments, you know. All of a sudden, I make a decision on assessment and how I want to move about doing an assessment. I was elected to this board by my constituents to make those decisions, and now
you were appointed to the assessor, though.
Okay.
And the assessor has...
So, it's looking like a double standard here. You know, because same thing code enforcement. I make suggestions on code enforcement, and people have issues about it. And all I'm trying to do is make things right and you know, try things out. Whereas the police department has non-carte blanche or whatever they say to do whatever they want. And it's, you know, if we're going to have a governing board where we're relying on guys to make decisions, then you need to be able to rely on the assessor to make the decision without public comment, and you need to rely on, you know, Bill to make decisions on the road without that type of, you know, double standard, and Randy on the water, you know? So, you know, I appreciate, you know, Guy works his ass off. I love that. He's awesome. He does a lot of work here. You know, and we do have differences of opinions, but his department, you know, there's double standards regarding departments.
I think the issue today was a lot of was...
People are afraid of change.
It's not just that. It's just, people want to make sure that if you have the final say over what someone's assessment is.
I don't, though.
But you do. You do.
Okay.
If you, if I come to you and I say, I think my house is over assessed, it's, you know, I'm assessed for, you know, $240,000 and I think my house should be assessed at 170, and you agree with me, and you say, okay, I'm going to lower your house to $170,000, it's $170,000.
But it would be a fair assessment. I would review all.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
And I think that the people that spoke tonight want to be sure that you are looking at it through the lens that is the legal lens. That when you're doing that, you know, that you're looking at it, you're looking at sales, you're trying to actually come up with what the actual value of that home is, independent of what they're presenting to you, and looking at what they're presenting to you and ensuring that it's valid.
Well, I don't know how to say I'm just fair more than
understood. Fair. And you know, you'll have to work your way through that.
Okay.
But I think that is what the issue is.
Okay, well thank you.
And if it's not, you know,
it gives me more clarity, so thank you.
But that's it.
Okay. I don't want to belabor the issue, but I think in terms of people's authority over their own budgets, I don't always agree with what Bill's doing or Randy's doing with their budget, and I don't question. But ultimately, they have the authority to make those decisions, and you have the same authority in your departments. You know, those dollars that we've,
and that's why we have a board to vote on.
Right.
So
I don't, you know.
Let's just let the legislative process work on that.
Yep. Okay, so exactly that. So transferring from 8944.84 from police contractual to police equipment. We have a motion and a second. We discussed it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
One opposed. The motion is carried. Okay, so we had a public hearing earlier on transferring money from the drug seizure account. So we wanted to transfer $7,874.66 from the Drugs Money Capital Fund 230.05.000.11 for the Police Equipment Capital or Police Equipment Fund 3120.2.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Open for discussion.
I just want to say, you know, I'm going to go against this one as well because I think the money can be spent more properly. I like the fact that we are going to utilize it because we don't want to lose it. But that's my reasoning.
Anything else? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
One negative. Motion is carried. Let's see. We're going to hold the truck fund transfer switch.
We
don't need a resolution, so that's all, right? Okay, and the reason here. Bill Memorial Day Parade, May 29th at 2 p.m. Okay. Motion by Randy, second by Dave.
I also need to know everyone that wants to, that is going to speak that day.
Speak?
Because there was a ceremony after it's over, and
yeah, they usually just, that's about it.
I'm
going. I will attend.
Who's going to be in the parade?
I will be in the parade, and I will attend the VFW ceremony.
Okay. You too, guys.
I'm not sure yet. Possibly.
Any questions on the Memorial Day Parade? Missy's got all her answers, hopefully. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We're going to approve the bills number 347 through 381. I changed the amount because I did pull out the Sunnyside bill for $1,100, so I had on hold. I'll address that at another time or do something different with it. So the amount now is $39,482.94 in the general fund and $1,655.17 in the water fund. Make a motion. Motion by Guy. Second by Randy. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Adjournment. Motion by Dave. Second by Bill. We are adjourned.